Hello and welcome. I'm Connie Reagan-Green, and this is episode 80 of Prestabilius, Excellence in Marketing. Remember that Prestabilius is a Latin word. It means outstanding, extraordinary, and it's what I want you to think of every single day, whether it's in regards to your marketing or anything else. But I'm going to start today by making a bold statement. If something isn't a good use of your time, you must be outsourcing it. Now, I could say you should be outsourcing it, but nobody really likes that when I say should or anyone says that to me. So I'm going to say that you must be outsourcing it because your time is the most precious and valuable commodity that you have. Treat it like the treasure that it is. It's an asset. And we can't get back time. And I could go into all kinds of talking about time management. But take a look at my book. I have a book I co-authored with the late Jeff Hoff, Time Management for Entrepreneurs. And I want to talk about how you can get more of your precious time back by outsourcing. So what do I mean by outsourcing? Outsourcing is when we allow someone else to do work for us that either we can't do, we don't know how to do it, or that we feel like we don't have the time to do, or because they would do it much better, more efficiently, and it would look better perhaps if they do it. So when I came online, here we are in 2006, long, long ago it feels like, sometimes it feels like just yesterday, and people said to me, you need this and you need that, you have to do all these things, and I would say either, well, I don't know if I have time to do that, or I don't know how to do it. And they would say, well, just outsource it. Just get somebody else, pay somebody else to do it. Well, like many people, I felt that I didn't have the money to spend to hire other people to do things for me. And I thought back to years before I came online, and at the time I thought back to I had watched a morning TV show, something like Good Morning America, something like that, and there was a man on, he was a fashion designer, and I don't remember his name, but he wasn't one of the big names that people know. He was someone lesser known, and they were showing some clothing, and there was a skirt in particular, a really gorgeous skirt, and it was several hundred dollars, and the lady interviewing him on the morning show said, you know, well, what about people that can't afford several hundred dollars just for one item of clothing? And I'm nodding at home and thinking, yes, that's me. What do we do? And he said, I don't know how they wouldn't be able to afford it. Well, the way that came out of his mouth and the way it was landing on my ears was that he only was catering to people who had enough money to spend several hundred dollars. It was, I don't know, $400 or $500 for a skirt, which is still a lot of money in my mind 16 years later. And it came out like that he was only dealing with rich people. But he went on to talk about the value of having some really wonderful items in your wardrobe that would last for a decade or more, well, over a decade, and would present you to the world in a different way than if you had, let's just say, five skirts that you would have spent $30, $40 for at the most. And I didn't understand any of that at the time. But as I was starting my online business, I realized that I didn't want to learn to do things that wouldn't be done as well as someone who already knew how to do it and had a talent for it with graphics or website design or something like that. I didn't want to do something that I could pay someone else to do at a lower rate than what I was earning when I left teaching in real estate and came online. So I had to value my time, and I want you to think about this. What is an hour of your time worth? Because right now, if I would spend time doing what my team of people help me with, and over the years I've built a team, but I'm going to tell you about the first person I outsourced to. But right now, if I would do all those things, just say I could learn to do them, well, there would be that time investment of learning to do something and perhaps a cost of taking a course or buying books or something like that. But it just isn't possible. I valued my time when I came online at $50 an hour because with teaching and with real estate, pretty much that's what I was able to earn back then. And if I needed to make more money, and I always did, I worked more hours to make more money. So I came online and I thought, I don't want to work for less than I was working for before, but yet, 16 years later, here we are in 2022, I still see people and work with people and hear about people that are working for minimum wage or below, and it's because they feel like they can't afford to pay someone else. Now, I'm not really talking about a site like Fiverr. Fiverr is out there. I've used people on Fiverr regularly. I recommend them, the ones that I've used, to people that I work with. And I love that idea to be able to hire someone kind of on the spot and within a day or two or three to have a project completed. I'm not really talking about that. I'm talking about having someone that will work with you, not exclusively, because there's all kinds of legal ramifications. Anyone that works for me also works for two or three other people. But having someone that you would get to know and trust, they would get to know and trust you, and they would be available on some type of schedule to do work for you that isn't a good use of your time. All right, so what's a good use of your time? For me, it's been the same almost from day one. I spend my time writing, and this includes blog posts, articles, short reports, sales copy. This weekend I have a sales page I need to complete. So sales copy, books, full-length books. Go over to ConnieReaganGreenBooks.com. You can see all my books. So all types of writing, and I'm talking about just for my business. I do writing for my personal life, television writing, that type of thing, but I'm not talking about that here. I'm talking about the writing I do for my business. That's an excellent use of my time. Creating. We have to be creative as entrepreneurs. If you aren't creating something new and interesting, whether it ends up being a big success or not, then you're kind of missing the point of being an entrepreneur. As an entrepreneur, we don't follow a blueprint even, or a set of rules or regulations or anything like that. We create things that we believe will be of some interest or great interest to the people that we're focusing on, our target audience. So like the blog challenge, I started the first blog challenge in 2009. No one had ever heard of that. It sounded silly back then. But within a couple of years, other people had picked up the idea and were running their own blog challenges. And finally, they're as common as could be. Well, I started the productivity challenge. And this year is the 13th year, lucky 13, that I'm doing the productivity challenge. If you go to 2022, the numbers, 2022, 2022productivitychallenge.com, there it is, near the top of the page. It is the page, because I purchased the domain, 2022productivitychallenge.com. And don't type in https://, to get there, because the S stands for secure. That's for a website. This is forwarded, so I purchased the domain, so it's http://2022productivitychallenge.com. And I forwarded the blog post where I'm posting it. It's on ConnieReaganGreen.com. So that was new and innovative, and the challenge continues. It continues to grow. Each time I'm doing it for 30 days, I end up with a minimum of 10,000 words in the post. This time, I'm a little bit more prolific. I seem to have a little bit more in the way of ideas. So this time, it's probably going to be closer to 15,000. I don't know if it'll hit 15,000 words by the end of the 30 days, but it will be much closer to 15,000 than I've done in the past. So we have to be creative and innovative, and the writing helps us get there. The creating makes it unique. The third thing I do is marketing. I'm the marketing mad woman. I love that name. Yes, I own the domain. I don't know what it's forwarded to right now, but I am the marketing mad woman. So marketing, it turns out, is the way that you can build a name for yourself and get business. I didn't care for marketing. I was required to take some marketing classes, two marketing classes, to become a real estate broker. And I went through the classes and I did the work and received an A or a B, but I didn't really become a marketer. I didn't embrace the idea. I came online and realized very quickly, in addition to the writing and the creating, I needed to learn and enjoy marketing. And now, if left to my own devices, if there's an extra half hour here or there in my day, and there is most days, I do some marketing. Marketing is sales. It's persuasion. It's sharing in a way that enrolls the other person. The other person is nodding their head and saying, yes, yes, that makes sense for me. That's marketing, and it's a wonderful thing. The fourth and last thing that I do is mentoring and consulting. I'm not a coach. I'm a mentor. Mentor means teacher. And I love mentoring small groups of people in various programs. My next program is my 10-week author program. It'll last more than 10 weeks, but that's what I call it now. And then I consult with individuals and with companies and with corporations. And that's something I love. Anything else is not a good use of my time. So I said I needed to write a sales letter this weekend. The site's already been set up by someone on my team. Everything is there. I just need to have them change out the picture on the top, the photo of me, because I've lost weight and my hair isn't permed anymore. I have straighter hair, so I'm going to have the new picture added to the page. But the sales copy, that's all me. That'll be me. So think about the things that you're doing in your business. If you're creating a product, that's you. If it's set up on a web page, and of course it will be, that's usually not you. Now, I can hear you. I can read your mind. You're saying, no, no, but I have some tech skills. I know how to set up web pages. I can promise you, in 16 years, I haven't ever seen really nice web pages from people who have tech skills. They are convincing themselves that because they know how to do it, they're the right one to do it. That if you look at their blog, if you look at their sales pages side by side, someone else, not necessarily me, but someone else who's hiring that out, outsourcing it, you'll see a big difference, a dramatic difference. So when I started having people set up sites for me, for my products, I had to think about this because even though I had embraced the idea of outsourcing, I still wasn't 100% sold on it. And I thought, you know, do I make that money back that I spend? So back then, it would cost me about let's just use 100 as a round number. Sometimes it was 125, but let's use 100 as a round number. It would cost me $100 to have the tech person set up everything that went with it. And that was for their time, you know, being charging me by the project or by the hour. And my products back then were anywhere between $50 and $100. Let's just say we're talking about a $50 product. So PayPal and credit card fees aside, let's just use round numbers, I would need to sell 2 copies of my product or course to pay for the tech work to be done at $100 just to break even, to just be at zero. After that, it would be all my profit minus the fees. But would it be worth it? Well, if you think of it that way, it's a resounding yes. Why? Because you'll sell a whole lot more when you have something that looks nicer, is more professionally done, is done by someone else than you. Because another piece of this is that you can then make your product or course a little better because you have that time back. Because more than likely, you couldn't get the whole thing done start to finish in a couple hours. You'd be going back and doing this and doing that. And, you know, I use Wishlist Member on everything. ConnieLoves.me/wishlist is what I use on more than 50 of my sites. And I would rather have somebody else who's doing that kind of work several hours every day because that's what they do. I'd rather have them set it up for me. It's faster, it's easier, and it doesn't clutter my mind with things that really aren't my main thing. Hopefully you have read the book, The One Thing. My one thing is writing marketing, creating, and mentoring. Sounds like four things, but it's really one thing because it's the whole of my business. So let's go back to the beginning. I promised to share how I got started with outsourcing. I was determined to do things myself. I could not do them. I spent a couple hundred dollars on books and courses to learn how to do things myself with a program called Front Page, you might remember. And finally, that one was upgraded to something else, and now I can't even remember what it was called, but it was Front Page for a while. There was also something called Dreamweaver, and it was just a big mess, and it left me frustrated and feeling like I wasn't smart enough or experienced enough to do the business online. And I thought, this can't go on. This was before WordPress was so user-friendly. And I thought, what am I going to do? So I met a woman in person, actually, at an event. And she was a tech person, built websites from scratch. She used to code. Her parents had been programmers, and as a little girl, they had shown her how to write HTML code. So it was pretty interesting. Graphics were beautiful, just gorgeous graphics. And we were sitting together one of the days of the event. It was a three-day event. And she said, boy, if I could just learn marketing, I'd love to not be working for one person. She was working for one marketer exclusively, and he wasn't paying her well, definitely not close to what she was worth, and he wasn't treating her well in terms of what he expected her to do. He was very demanding. And I said, well, I'm learning about marketing, and my focus is to become an expert in marketing, and I would love to help you. I said, but I need tech work done and graphics and websites and this and that. And she said, I'll do work for you. You'll teach me everything about marketing. And I said, yes, we're going to barter. So bartering is where people exchange it. It goes way, way back, in history, where somebody had one thing, somebody else had the other thing, and they agreed to swap items so that each of them had some of what they needed. And so she and I had a barter arrangement. And we did that for a year and a half for sure, and then I started paying her. And then I started building my team. And by then, she had long since left working for the man that she didn't want to work for anymore, and it worked out nicely. She just moved on and did other things, so they never had harsh words, or there was never anybody angry or anything. And she went on to do what she wanted to do. And also, she made jewelry. She was very creative. She had all kinds of things that she wanted to do, and she had time to do those things and was making money, and I started to build a team. It sounded scary in the beginning. Everything sounds scary. Outsourcing sounded scary. Even bartering sounded a little scary because I thought, what if she feels like she's not getting a bargain with this, that I'm not teaching her enough about marketing? I had to get past that to believe in myself that it would be a fair arrangement. So when I started building the team, I was looking for a project manager. That was someone that would be in charge of other people that were helping me. Well, it didn't really work that way. Instead, one by one, I would add people to my team. They would do one thing or another. Sometimes they really loved doing one thing more than another, which is natural for humans. And so I let that be the part of my business that they handled. And over the next couple of years, emerged the person that I now consider my project manager. And this is someone who honestly does read minds, can anticipate my next move, knows what's going on with me in my personal life, where sometimes I have a whole lot of free time and sometimes not so much. So that person emerged, and what I truly love is that this person then can work easily with other people on my team. And this is a great joy, especially when the pandemic hit and I had a team meeting, as I do fairly regularly, and I said, let me know what you need from me. I want to keep everybody working. Whatever we need to do, I will keep everybody working. I always have so many projects that are, you know, on the sidelines ready to go, and that worked extremely well for me. But I realize if you're listening to Prestobelius Excellence in Marketing, you most likely are not at that point. You might have a virtual assistant. You might have a VA. That's a good place to start. I tried with someone local. I don't know why I thought it was important to have a virtual assistant that lived in the same city that I did. it doesn't make any difference, and it really doesn't even make any sense. So over the years, though, I've learned how to work with a virtual assistant. You want to tell them exactly what you want them to do. And I learned a lot of this from Dr. Jeanette Cates, that I still know and love and worked closely with for a number of years, where once she was doing something and she knew how she wanted it done, she would make a video or videos, plural, and give them to the people on her team. And that way they could watch the video. If they had questions, they could ask. Sometimes they'd make a little video, send it back to her with the questions. But that way everything was done by a template. And if there was a change, there would be a reason for a change, not just because. That's not a reason to change something in a business. That, oh, I didn't feel like doing it that way anymore, so I did it this way. Unless it's going to work, you don't want to change something from what you're already doing. But that's a way to get started. I hear a lot of complaints about virtual assistants, and I always feel very sad for the virtual assistant, not for the marketer telling me their tale of woe, because a virtual assistant is working by the hour, usually not the project, usually by the hour, and you tell them what you want them to do during those hours they work for you. And remember that they are independent contractors, and they work the hours they choose, not the hours that you assign them. That would be an employee, so you're not doing that. And if they do something differently, you would reach out to them and say, I see that you did this differently than what you and I had been doing before. Was there a reason for that? Hopefully there was a reason, a good reason. They should have contacted you to let you know. But if they just did it just because, then you have to have that discussion. So it's really an excellent way to learn how to deal with people. That was something that was important for me and is an ongoing area in my life, working with people, dealing with people. So think about what skills you have already. So for me, I was not a writer, but it was a skill I knew from the first month online that I needed to develop that skill. How did I do that? I started writing every day. A writer, it ends with E-R, writer, one who writes. I started writing every day, became a writer, then became an author, then understood the power of being a writer, and I've kept writing. I've now published 3.6 million words. How do I know? I keep track of them in various ways. I can add up the books I've written, the pages in each of those, or the word count in each of those. But also I use a site called 750words.com, and I'm there just about every day. I break my streak purposely from time to time. Right now I'm on an 82-day streak, but I've been there for a few years. And a good estimate of how many words I have written and published is about 3.6 million words. I'm very proud of that. And it's not something that I would outsource, or would I? Yes, I do buy PLR, private label rights content, and use it in my business. Not for the books. They don't allow that on Amazon, and I'm so glad they do not. But for blog posts, for short reports, for a variety of things, for bonuses and supplements that I use in my products and courses, I like to use private label rights content. It's written extremely well and researched more deeply than I ever would do for those topics. Also, I've had a ghostwriter the past couple of years. And a ghostwriter is someone who writes for you in your voice as much as possible, and you don't ever share their name anywhere because they're a writer for hire. You're paying them by the word, typically, or by the page at some agreed-upon rate. So even though I have the skill of writing now, I still outsource that a little bit. At least, I'm going to say at least probably 20%, maybe 25%. What is it that you love doing that's part of the online business? Maybe you're a social butterfly and you love networking. You love going on social media, especially Facebook, and connecting with people, getting to know them a little better. Maybe you even arrange a Zoom or a phone call with them from time to time. That doesn't describe me, but that doesn't mean that isn't a wonderful thing to have as part of your life experience. So maybe that's something. What is it, I don't like to use the word hate, what is it that you strongly dislike? For me, anything technical, it makes me hold my breath. It makes me second guess what I'm doing. It makes me feel like I'm going to do one wrong thing and make a big mess. I have a good reason to feel this way. I've wiped out an entire WordPress website once by one little piece of code. I went in and tried to change it, and there was one character that I didn't copy-paste correctly. And everything was gone. All of a sudden, it was just a white screen. And yes, a tech person fixed it for me, but you can bet I won't try that again. So what are skills you already have? What do you love doing as part of your business? What do you strongly dislike doing? What's your hourly rate? These are all things to think about. But the bottom line is you will make more money. You will have more free time. It isn't time freedom and financial freedom what we're after. Isn't that why we are entrepreneurs and aren't employees somewhere? More than likely. Think about building a team. Think about the person that will finally become your project manager. Envision the person ahead of time. What qualities would they have? For me, I prefer to work with people, and it's worked out this way across the board, who are so trustworthy that I give them access to information that only family members would have otherwise, and not every family member, only a couple of family members. So I like to have that level of trust with someone where if there's a situation, my internet's down, whatever's going on, they could get into my merchant account or to my PayPal account or to any of my sites, any of my projects. They would know what's going on and be able to solve a problem. Are there problems like that? Once in a while, once every few years, I'm going to say, because it's not a dramatic business, and I'm so glad it isn't. But those are the people I like to work with, so think about your team in those terms. And when you're looking for outsourcers, see if you can meet them in person at a live event is best. If not, meet them online. Take them offline with a phone call or a Zoom, so it's just the two of you talking. Get to know them, find out what's important to them, and find out who else they're currently working for. Again, so that they will not have employee status but will be an independent contractor, they need to be working for at least one other person. I've always made it my rule they would work for two other people for sure, so that there would never be a situation where I would end up being the only person they would be working for. So I hope this information is helpful. Outsourcing is so fabulous because you're sharing part of your business with other people, and it makes it more joyous for everyone. Everyone's making money. Everyone's doing work that they love to do, that kind of thing. And another thing I'll say, that over time, I've developed kind of a JV, a joint venture relationship with a few people on my team where we do something called profit sharing. It's almost unheard of in the online world. But it means that in exchange for the work they do for me, I give them a percentage of the sales of the product or products they work on for me and with me. And it works out really well. Does it cost me more money? Yes. Do I love doing that? Yes. So do it the way that will work for you, but please don't do it alone. Please have some people helping you, outsourcers. Start with one virtual assistant and reach out to me. I'm Connie Reagan Green. I would love to talk to you about this topic or any other. I'm at ConnieReaganGreen.com. I hope you've enjoyed episode 80 of Prestabilious, Excellence in Marketing.